Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger with your host, Victor from VentoBots. And on today's episode, I have something very special for you. I have a special guest that I'm bringing here because we've talked a lot about events and how that can be very profitable as a way of bringing in new people to your business. But a lot of most people are still thinking like, well, since everything is closed down, I can't do that right now. And it's not true. And then this guest is really going to show you how that's possible and how to really turn events into turning that into six-figure days. That could be like a multi-day event, a single-day event, and things like that. So before we begin, a little bit more about my special guest today's. She is someone who helps businesses really turn around their business. It's really taken and increased their cash flow fast because we'll dive into it further, but she's been through a recession before. She's had to turn that and brought in six figures in profit, not just top line, but profit. So let's dive into it now. Before we get started, again, make sure you head on over to ventobots.com/book to get your free copy of the Complete Automation Strategy, our four phases to generating never-ending leads. We go over the same four phases we take our private clients through in this book here, and you can too to start bringing in never-ending leads online. So my special guest today, Jean Kuhn. Hey, Jean, how are you doing?
Hey, Victor, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm so happy I was finally able to get you on. I feel like I've been talking about it for a while. I've like been chasing you to get you on the show, so super excited here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool. So I know, and this is actually super relevant, I feel, because you just had, I think, your own event not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And
May 22nd.
I'm sorry?
May 22nd.
May 22nd. So yeah, it wasn't too long ago at the time of this recording. And it's definitely for sure, from what I remember hearing, we had a we talked about it and it was super profitable for you, right? Because normally you have in-person live events and this one was a virtual event.
Yeah. It was crazy how different it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's kind of dive in. What, I guess before we go into it, what are some of the things that you found that you did very similar to bringing people to this virtual event compared to when you were normally do it, bring a handful of people in to live events in person?
So, well, the first thing was that when I was doing live events, I'd have to go out and speak and sell tickets. And the ticket cost for my event is really low cost, $47, right? So it's very low cost to get into my event, and it would take me 6 to 8 weeks to put 20 people in a room, okay? So, well, what I found was when I did a virtual event, within 7 days, I put 40 people in the room, right, in a virtual event. Yeah. So number one, it was much faster and easier to put somebody into the room to fill the room. I was only looking for 20. Now, my clients were part of that. So yeah. My clients all jumped in on that also. So with 40 people, probably almost half of them were clients.
Okay. So then you got 20 new people for sure.
I think I had about, you know, in marketing terms, we call that buying units, right?
Yeah.
So there was probably about 17 buying units in the audience.
Gotcha. Okay. But still, and this is great to hear those numbers because I feel like what most people think when they run some type of like online event and before all of this, it was like webinars and masterclasses and trainings, things like that, right? So they did things like that and they thought that they had to have hundreds of people going, which right. I know you're going to dive into it later, but we're going to really touch on those numbers. We only had 17 new people. The right. other 23-ish were repeating people that already know you and love you and trust you.
Well, that, but some of them were also people that I knew that I would not make an offer to. So, okay. So let's take that into consideration. So
yes.
Had they purchased, I would not have taken them on as a client, right? I would have rejected them.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's an interesting place. I love talking about that because I feel sometimes people get scared of doing that. That's a whole other topic in and of itself, I feel.
Yeah. They just were not a right fit client, right? I knew their business, what their business was, or maybe I knew enough about them to know that should they have signed up, which they didn't, I would not have worked with them anyway. So I didn't count them into my my total people that I was looking at for that, for that would purchase.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So let's kind of dive into it. Like, what was it that really, I guess, why do these events work so well?
I don't know. I actually worked an event over the week, this past week, and I worked in as a staff member, or staff member, but you know, as a helper, right? I was helping them, supporting them, and it was crazy numbers. Where normally she might have 300 or 400 people in the room, she had sold over 900 tickets for the event, and closed an amazing amount of those people into a super high ticket offer. So, yeah. It was great to see it in action. And I'll tell you why it was really great to see it in action, because normally I've been doing 1 day events. In May, I'm doing a 3 day event, virtual event, because we've already here in Illinois, we've already been told no conferences over 50 people, until there's a vaccine.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So pretty much shutting down the conference industry here in Illinois.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, then you focus primarily though on like small events, kind of like 10, 20 people. This one being virtual, you had like a little bit double more than that. In general, what kind of happens during an event like this? Can you kind of explain like the back end process of what happens in the elevation part of it, of going through it?
Sure. So in a 1 day event, and that's how I created a 6-figure business all those years ago, right? Was doing these small local events and just getting, well, let me start here. So what I do is my whole goal has been to put 20 people in a room, spend 8 hours with them, and make 6 figures from that. Now, that's over a course of 4. So how it works is I usually put people in a room.
Yeah.
And I make them an offer after lunch for a VIP day with me. So low cost offer. I usually do it for about $1,997. And then that's a private VIP day with me. They come, we have a great day together. I lay out an entire plan for them. And then if it makes sense at the end of their VIP day, I may make them an offer to go forward with me in a 12-month program where we're really looking now at showing them how to implement what the plan was that I gave them.
Okay.
So by doing that, what I found is every time I'm to the point where I can do that, I will sell the VIP days, and I will make around between $50,000 and $60,000 from each event. You do that 4 times a year, that's over $120,000, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's over
200 to 240, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. That's fantastic. So like I love hearing how easy it is. I think so many people, most people overcomplicate the process of scaling their business or growing it to a certain point and then scaling, just because I don't know why. And I'm sure you run into it too. And you see like things with helping so many businesses, you really look into them and you're like, I've seen this before. And I feel like a lot of the time you tend to see a lot of the same, they run into a lot of the same issues. And whether that be, you know, there's always commonalities, at least from my perspective as well.
Right.
But what what is it about these events that on the back end, let's say we've gotten people there and we've sold this VIP day. Once the VIP day happens, so is it like the next day or is it a week later or is it something like?
Sorry. It's usually a couple weeks later. I send them an assessment. I need them to fill out something so I know how to create a plan for them. And I actually create their business plan before they come. So because we spend the VIP days 4 hours. So during that 4 hours, it's me delivering their plan. It's me showing them the marketing strategies that they need to put in place in order to implement the plan, right? And the revenue that the plan will generate if they implement. Now, if they implement everything, but most people, the plan is pretty big. Usually it's pretty robust. And honestly, it would be almost impossible in a month, I mean, in a year, for them to get all of the levels implemented to hit the dollar goal, right? Because it could be a $200,000 or $300,000 plan, and right now they're making $75,000. So really what I would, let's say $50,000. And what I do is I give them the plan and show them, here, you're not going to start at the top, right? You're going to start, here's where we're going to start. And you can't implement everything at one time, but this is how you scale your business too with this plan, right? Not you, but I mean the client.
Right, yeah, the person that's receiving, right, okay.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, so I show them that this is a plan that's a scalable plan, but you can't start and implement everything because that is the best recipe for disaster ever. Because, and they want to, right?
Everyone's eager to because they see the end goal. They want the result. I feel like there's this whole delayed gratification that gets lost.
Yeah, and if they do, they have no results, and then it looks like it's a bad plan. It's not, and that's actually why I encourage them then to work with me on that plan. So number one, they'll move through the steps faster, right? Than they would without any help. And I don't let them implement everything at one time. We work on it the right way.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes absolute sense. I love it because that in and of itself, I feel is eye-opening for a lot of people because I have mentors, right? I don't do it alone. I did it at the very beginning and I realized very quickly how slow I was going. Once I got a mentor, how fast it went.
Right.
You can go so much faster with someone. I feel like, and I'm sure you've heard this before, like because you're not, it's not your business, you're able to make objective decisions. Whereas from a business owner's perspective, since it's their business, it's hard to objectively look at a lot of things. There's this like sense of separation that can almost, it's almost like an ego.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just got an email before we got on our call and she's writing titles for a signature talk.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them and I'm like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I probably would have written that title, but I now know why that title will not sell. Right.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get back to her. And it's like, you're on the wrong track there because people don't want to be entertained by your title. So
that's interesting. Yeah. No, and it's true. Cause it's like, we get focused. I've been completely on myself as well. I have a coach with that because though I run a lot of marketing for a lot of businesses, like when it comes to myself, I need someone outside looking in from the perspective of that objectivity, right? They can make those decisions and I'm not as close. They're not close to it like I am. For me, I'm kind of like, I like it though. And like, I feel like it's gonna, because I like it. Whereas that person looks in and they're saying, yeah, you might like it, but it's not whether you like it or not. It's whether it works or not. So that's...
My coach had to sit me down and tell me I was the queen of cheese, right? Because I was cheesy on all of everything I was writing. It was just real cheesy. And he's like, you know, you're the queen of cheese and cheese does not sell. So we want to get away from that pretty fast.
Oh man, that's funny. You were able to really, and I think this was from like the last recession in like 2008. And from what I remember and what I know about you, you were able to take a failing business and really turn it into a six-figure business. And then also add an additional like six figures in profit, if I remember correct.
Yeah. So, my background is, and I became self-employed in 1985. So okay. I went through the recession in the 90s, right? Went through that as a self-employed person, got up to 2001 and went through 9/11 because the recession was huge and really fast, not Corona fast. I mean, Corona was really super fast. It took about 3 weeks in 2001 during 9/11 to shut down most everything and for me to feel a trickle effect from that.
Yeah.
But in 2002, I bought my first bankrupt business. And then, what was that, 2001? I bought it right after, about 6 months after 9/11, right? So it had failed at that point. It had completely failed. It was bankrupt. I bought that and turned that around within 12 months and then added six figures to the bottom line there. And then 4 years later, I bought another bankrupt business and turned that one around within under 12 months and added over six figures to that bottom line.
Awesome. So it's not like a one trick pony. You've done this several times. I have.
And after I did, those were both franchises, right? Now, right. We didn't get a lot of support from the franchisor, but I will tell you that I started then a conference helping my fellow franchisees turn around their businesses in 2006, right mm-hmm. before, which I helped them get right through 2006, 2007, 2008, right? They were all staying in business, right? For those times, I was holding two-day conferences every year for my fellow franchisees yeah. so that we could all stay in business by kind of combining our efforts and our creativity and our ideas, right? And it was truly a group.
Like a collective.
A collective, right? And for 2 days, we just brainstormed ideas on how we could grow our businesses even more than we already were. So yeah, we came out of that 2006, 2008, 2009 area in really good shape.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now you mentioned that it was slower then. How fast was it now?
Holy crap. It was like 2 days, right? Honestly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny because when they announced here in Illinois, they announced that the shutdown was going to happen. Because I kind of thought, now how can they shut down the entire economy, right? How do you shut down the entire country? So I didn't really think that was going to happen. But once the governor announced it was shutting down, I immediately started a three-day, 2 hours a day training for small business owners on how to stay relevant during the shutdown. I had, right, it's just whatever experience I had for what I had done in the past, mm-hmm. but it's nothing like what I'd ever anticipated. And I will tell you that those small business owners kicked some butt in the last 13, 14 weeks. And most of them are in really good shape now coming on hopefully on our way out of this. And they're still in business. They still have businesses. And actually quite a few of them have become clients from that because that was a free group. It cost them nothing to participate, right? It was just, I gave them 13 weeks of training 5 days a week.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And I know one of the things, I was saying this like going into everything was like, there's going to be new leaders of tomorrow. And those new leaders are the ones who are doubling down on their marketing efforts to really stay relevant. It sounds like you really helped to help, like, not that they advertised per se, but you helped them to stay relevant from that perspective so that they like passed this. A lot of people, I think it was almost, there was like about a couple of weeks when everything kind of happened that I know my clients, I talked to them beforehand. I was like, this is what's going to happen. These bigger companies and majority of all other small companies, they're going to turn all of their advertising off. If you can keep it going, this is what you're going to see. And they saw a dramatic increase on return because they were the ones who stayed relevant.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's exactly what you saw from your end with your clients and in your community when they were staying relevant, you were helping them do that.
Yeah, and I will tell you, at the beginning, I was seeing people showing up in their pajamas, people showing up, and I'm not just talking about these small business owners, I'm talking about events where I was asked to speak at on a Zoom call and talk about staying relevant, and I would see the attendees showing up in their pajamas, in a blanket, wrapped up, on the couch, and I'm like, first of all, they were not my clients to say anything to, but I went back to that small group and I said, look, you need to show up and show up like you mean business. And I told them what I saw. So obviously it meant I don't approve of that. And they started showing up and they're kicking butt.
That's awesome. And so it's funny. We started talking about events. I want to hear about how your virtual event went, because I know you kind of talked about the business model for the in-person events. Where did this virtual event go and what was that like for you?
So number one, it was very comfortable. right? It was really comfortable because it was this is it. This is exactly what it looked like. This was my background, right? And it was, and I got to do it barefoot in yoga pants, right? So it was really comfortable. So, but really it was so easy. It was so easy because I had put a PowerPoint together for it, which I don't normally speak with a PowerPoint because I use a flip chart when I do it live. So I'm writing on a flip chart. But this, I took some of the ideas, I put them on some of the forms and I put it on a PowerPoint. It took me, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half to do that. And I sent them out their workbook. I sent them little swag bags of their workbook and some little treats and some things that they might like to have there. And it was fast. It was faster than I thought it would be. Seemed like, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. They showed up. I put them in little breakout rooms to do some exercises. They came back. They were so excited about the breakout room. Didn't want to come back. They're like, we didn't want to come back. I'm like, what? Right? Yeah. And then I followed the only thing I did differently is in a live event, I would normally do my offer right after lunch, right? And in this one, I forgot about it, right? I had a lot of content I needed to get through. I was watching the clock and I got down to the back and I'm like, crap, I haven't made my offer. I made my offer at the end and it was fabulous, right? And I actually had a meeting planner. My meeting planner was on the phone and I put her up. We put up a screenshot of her phone number. And I'm like, if you have any questions, reach out to Danella. Here's her cell phone number. And they were calling her. She closed two of them while I was still talking and still, right? It was fast. We started at 9 a.m. and we ended at 4 p.m. And I had closed six units at that point. And I was super happy. I think it was 22% of the room that we closed that day.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this is like going back to the numbers that you were talking about. You had 40 people there and 17 people that were potential buyers.
Right.
And then from that 17, you got six people to actually invest in the next piece, which it sounds like it's following the same business model. You had the VIP day, and then from there you would offer the support to work with you even long-term.
Exactly. Right.
Right. Okay. So yeah, that's, I remember, I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing any numbers or anything like that, but I remember you and I talked before at a different date. And you were telling me, you know, it was multiple six figures, if I remember correctly.
I have never closed multiple six figures. Maybe that wasn't me. That wasn't me.
It might have been regarding something else that than what it was. But I do remember some of the things I remember you saying were like, if you experience this on the digital side of things a lot, sign me up. You're like, how do I do more of it? Or something like that.
That was me. I don't think that was me because I don't even remember saying anything like that to you. But I'm sure that you, here's the thing. All right, honestly, you want to know what my goal is for October? My goal would be multiple six figures in October.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, from a three-day event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's definitely doable.
It's totally doable.
Yeah, it's totally doable. But I think that's a great model to go after. Let's kind of go back to that really quick. It's having, initially, this is a one-day event. The virtual or the person, or is it a 3 day?
So my normal event is 1 day, but this is the first time I'm venturing out into a 3 day virtual event.
So in general, you normally have the 1 day, it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
The goal is to get somewhere around like 20 people there of ideal people, right? Not just anyone.
And my goal is always to close 2 to 4 people in a 1 day event. And then I usually close about six in the 1 day event. And then when they come here to do their VIP day, I will close between 2 and 3 of them.
Okay. Yeah. So then that makes sense. Cause then you have the 20 people there inviting into the VIP day. And then from there you literally give them everything. And the next step is just if they want even more support implementing what you gave them.
Right.
And I'm sure.
It does. I don't know if you've ever met me, but it usually takes a full day to get to know whether or not you like me.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah, for sure.
That's funny.
I do like that. It's hilarious. But yeah, so that in itself is a fantastic model just to follow. And that got you to get
so
in, you know, multiple businesses. You got to six figures that way, and you're able to help others do the same. And it's a great way to bring people in.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. This is just this business I got that way, right? That's how I created six figures in this business here.
Right.
Because my other businesses were retail, and they were making, by the end, I was making multiple six figures. And maybe that's what you're talking about. Maybe
what
we're talking about is the multiple six figures. I was making, close to $500,000 from those retail businesses in sales every year.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, yeah, I mean, with this current business, at least you are, that is what is working. That is what you're helping. It seems like that's what you're helping others do as well.
Yes.
To some extent.
And
like, obviously if it fits for their business and whatnot. So I truly love how that is. Can you dive into a little bit more of how you brought these people in and what you did? First that, and then we can transition over into really talking about like the eight weeks or 13 weeks now, from what I hear, what you did there. So first is break. How did you fill the initial events when they were in person?
First of all, obviously you would reach out to your own list and see if you had anybody interested, right? But mostly the way I filled them was I was out there hustling to get speaking gigs, right? And I would go out and talk about how to increase your cash flow fast, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then boom, my offer is, would you like a low cost $47 ticket to my 1 day event where I'm going to be teaching about sales. A lot of people have a trouble with sales, right? They don't want to feel manipulative or salesy, right? It makes them feel icky when they have to think about selling. So, and most of my clients are women, so it's even harder for them to go out and sell. It was hard for me before I knew this, how I learned to do this, right? So, so I would just go out and speak, and really it was a very easy sell to sell tickets at $47. I threw in lunch. For me, honestly, I didn't care if I broke even or if it cost me even a couple $100s, because this is my lead generator. My one-day event is a lead generator. And it's so much easier than having to go out and network and then have phone calls and then follow up with the phone calls and then follow up the phone calls and then people don't return your call, right? So it's so much easier because after a one-day event, they know immediately whether they like me or not, right?
Makes sense.
And people who like me want to go and continue on working with me, so.
Yeah, and that's great. So then... But that's not how you were able to fill this event, this virtual one.
Right. Right.
So that's why I said I want to transition into it, because it was virtual, there was some things you had to change. I think they were newer for you, but what did you do different this time to really get people into this event?
Well, you know what I noticed is that free group that I started, that free group, I had about 84 people in there. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I had been mentoring them, right, for free. I'm pretty up in your face about what I'm teaching you, right? And I had some rules like show up or don't participate, show up or get out of my group, because this is for people who really want to kick some ass. And if you're not interested, then you need to leave because we don't have time for you. So they all knew that I'm kind of a in your face sort of person. Yeah. So when I put my ticket out there, literally they were signing up that day. Right. And I told them, I gave them the little lecture, right? Which you would never say in a speaking event. It's like, look, if you know you're going to sign up, why are you waiting till the last minute? You have nowhere to go. I know for a fact you are not going to be busy on the day of my event because you have nowhere you're going, nowhere you can go, nowhere to go. Why are you waiting? Raise your hand if you're that person who waits till the last damn minute to sign up for something. And I did a whole training around why that's a problem in your business, right? Why the waiting? Wealth rewards speed. Kind of getting me all riled up here, Victor. But I gave a whole training around that. And so when I made my offer for the ticket, and I mean, for the people who were in it, I gave them a low price, $27, right?
Yeah.
I was already helping them. I gave them a low-level ticket. Again, all of it because there was no lunch to buy, right?
Yeah.
And immediately they started signing up. So these have been people who would kind of, you know, metaphorically raise their hand to say, hey, I'm a raving fan. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I filled that event, was from that that group that I had put together. So I would say in a group of 84, there was probably about 35 of them that were showing up regularly, and they registered immediately. And then it was sending out a two or three emails to my group, the people who weren't in there. And you can't say that to the people on your list. Why are you waiting till the last minute? You have nowhere to go, right? They have not experienced me. They hadn't gotten the training. They hadn't gotten all the lessons I had been giving them for 8 weeks at that point, right? So to know that this was a damn good deal, and I would be teaching them more than what I've been giving them for free for 8 weeks, 5 days a week.
Yeah, because I feel like with what you've been, what you were doing in that free group, it's more of a generalized, because you can't really, there's no like the one-on-one that you would with actual clients. So it's what you're seeing from a general perspective, and you're providing the value that way. Whereas they know, if I want to get very personalized information or access or insight to you, that's when we need to like move and invest into getting even more support, which makes sense.
Yeah, but honestly, they were getting a lot from me. They all got a private call from me.
Oh, fantastic.
I did interviews with it. I did all an interview for anybody who wanted it, so they could take it and have marketing information that they could put on their website about really making them the star of their show, right? The star of their business. So I when I say I gave a lot, mm-hmm. Victor, I gave a lot. Now, let me just tell you what the results of that were. And I don't mind sharing this number.
Sure.
In the month of April and May, because of this group, I closed just a few thousand dollars. I closed over $95,000 in 2 months.
That's awesome.
Not normal for me.
Yeah, that's what I think it was. Okay, I think that was what we had the conversation on. You were like, because that was all online. It wasn't what you traditionally did in person.
Yes.
That's what I think the conversation we had was. So I apologize if I skewed the numbers. But I remember it was like you were just surprised that you're like, wow, like I didn't know that was possible.
And most of it did not even come from that one day event, right? That was a very small piece of it. But as I was mentoring this group for free, I was doing 5 days of training a week for them. Then I was doing an hour helpline every day. So they were getting me 2 hours a day for 8 weeks. After about 4 weeks, when I started holding the one day, a one-on-one conversation with them, I was just closing them into working with me without going through the VIP day, some of them did sign up for a VIP day and then they converted over.
Yeah.
But that's actually when I had the one-on-ones with them. I was just selling them the VIP day already. I was selling it up front before. So when it came time for my event, some of them had already bought it, were clients by that point.
That makes sense. So like you helped, it's the good old, one of my mentors, Frank Kern, the big digital marketer, says the good old help them by actually helping them trick.
And honestly, I did it really truly from a place of service, having been through multiple recessions and things like that, knowing what's on the other side of that. I also know that 30 years ago, I was in a room with Zig Ziglar, and it was the early 90s, and he said, there was a recession going on, and he said, if you can make it through a recession, he said, I don't participate in recessions. And I was like, what? Right?
Yeah.
I thought we all had to participate. So when I knew Zig Ziglar, so this is how long ago was, that's 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So when Zig Ziglar said he wasn't participating, I immediately thought, well, I'm not going to participate. And I have never participated in a recession in the last 30 years. I always thought back to that, because he said, if you can make it through a recession, you will be at the top when the recession's over. And I really embraced that. And that's really what I was teaching these guys, is how to make sure that you're relevant and that you stay on top of things. And if I made no money from that, Victor, I was going to be okay, because I kind of felt like that was a give back, right?
Yeah.
I really over-delivered on everything I gave them for free. And they rewarded me. And I don't mean that to sound glib, but they rewarded me by wanting to work with me after that. And it is probably my proudest moment of being in business.
I think that's super powerful, just in and of itself right there, because it's true. And I think this is what gets lost in my world, there's so much marketing that happens, and they're like a copy and all this, that persuasion and whatnot. But it's, when it comes down to it, and people say, like, can you provide value? Like, that's really the big thing, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
A lot of people throw that around like it doesn't mean anything, but it's when you do things like the way you did it, it truly provides value to those other business owners, because you literally help them through this.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
So let's start again. So meaning that when I started that group, I really did intend it to be a lead generator. Okay. I really started it for that reason, but it was also to help people. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll sell them. But when they got into this group and I saw who they were and what they were doing and how little businesses they had to start with and why it was going to be so easy for them to shut down, I seriously just started loving on them. Right. It was about, really, not only were they not going to be in business at the end of 8 weeks or 10 weeks, but they were not in business now, right? They were not really in business now. And I got a lot of them up. There's a hypnotist in there, right? She's never made more than a few hundred dollars, maybe $1,000, $2,000 a month, who's now kicking ass because she now sees what her value is in the marketplace.
That's awesome.
Right. But she would never have been an ideal client for me. Right. She never would have been an ideal client for me, but she wanted to learn. And these guys were hungry for everything I was offering them. So when they started showing up, the more they showed up, the more I showed up, and the more they gave, the more I gave. And all I literally had to do was at that point say, do you want to know more? Do you want to take this further? And they're like, yes, please. And I was like, oh, right. I had no intention of, after about 2 weeks, I had no intention of trying to sell them. I really seriously just wanted to help them again.
Yeah.
And when I started helping them from an authentic place and really not caring if I made any money, I was okay. My clients stayed on. My clients didn't leave me. I got my clients through the tough part too. I didn't lose one client during COVID. So when I got, so I was okay, right? But now, well, I'm even better.
Okay. I love it. Yeah, no, that, Gene, this is why I wanted you on the show for so long. Like, your personality is great. I know we initially were like talking about events and like this business model events and,
yeah,
and how it can be super profitable, but there is true power in what you were doing and showing up the way you did, because if you do not come from that place, it seems that even if you had this business model we just broke down of events, like, you're still not going to be very successful because you're not coming from the perspective of actually helping these people.
Right.
Right. And it's like, I know there are some, I've worked on the back end of some like 7 and 8 figure businesses. And like, sometimes it is just a numbers game to them, which kind of stinks. It kind of breaks your heart to hear, you know, like someone that successful, like that business, you're like, come on, that kind of stinks. But then there's like the other version of it where it's like, you have businesses like yourself and then other 7 figure businesses and whatnot. And they're doing it because they want, they're truly there to help people. So there's both sides, but I think the most powerful message here today is what you were doing, really loving on your audience so that you can help them. And like you mentioned, you're rewarded by them wanting to work with you.
Well, you know, I kind of go back to 30 years ago in that room with Zig Ziglar. Mm-hmm. And when he said this, and now this is one of his most famous quotes, right?
Yeah.
You can find it anywhere. But when I was in a room when I heard him say it, and when he said it, he said, you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And I really embraced that then. But I will tell you that starting in March, I fully embraced that to the point where all I needed, I knew I would get everything I wanted if I just help them get what they want. And they did not want to be irrelevant. They did not want to go out of business, and they did not want to shut down.
Yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. And they didn't have the mentor of Zig Ziglar around like I did 30 years ago. Right. And they didn't have somebody who was going to step up and lead them to success. And I kind of felt like that was my calling, right? That was really what I was meant to do. Anybody who wanted to be on board. So I will tell you, Victor, that starting June 1st, we were supposed to open back up, right? And I have committed to finishing out the year with this group all still for free and still loving on them and still committing to them and still helping them as much as I possibly can, as long as they show up and participate and don't piss me off.
This is what I love about it. I love you. Like, I will give you everything. Just don't piss me off.
Right. And they don't. Right. And they just want to learn. Right. Most business owners do not have the training that I've had in business over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. They just don't have it. They're like every other small business owner out there. They're like, oh, today, let me start a business with no, that's how I that's how I started a business. Oh, let me start a business.
Yep.
And I've always climbed to the top of the mountain and jumped off, assuming there would be a parachute there to catch me, right? So you just grab hold of, right? Yep. I will tell you, I've missed that parachute quite a few times, right? And I ended up with scraped up and bruises and chunks out of my head and, you know, all kinds of stuff there. But
yeah.
But they don't have that. And there's nothing I love more than a small business owner.
Mm-hmm. They're a different breed of people for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much today for coming on and really diving into that and opening up and being vulnerable with that. I know that was, it seemed like it got to you a little bit too. And you mentioned that you're out of curiosity.
I didn't know you could tell that. Sorry, I was like, does it look like I'm crying?
No. It's fine. The beauty of that, I think, was definitely the fact that it happened. I noticed it when you were talking about how you've helped these people, how you've helped these business owners, and just what they were able to do for you as well in return. You know,
because, I'm really grateful.
Yeah. And that is, you know, that's the beauty of everything. That's like, so.
I don't do this. I don't get emotional about stuff like
that. Yeah, I've never seen you.
I know. I will tell you, I have a true love for this group, right? I have a true love for that group. So let me just ask this, if you would like that, and if you want to give this away, I'm happy to. But
yeah.
I created a list of scripts for small business owners on how to do their own one-day event. So it's every script you need from how to fill your event, how to book a venue, everything that you would need. If you want that and you want to give it to your listeners and include that, I'm happy to give that to you.
Absolutely. I was just about to ask you, where can we find out more? And that would be perfect.
So how do I get that to you? Do I just send that to you?
So you can, if there was a link for it, then you can see the link right now. But then no worries. Then we need to have a conversation about that.
Yes.
You know what?
You knew that my website was down, right? Because I had a bad attack of something.
Yeah.
So we're still rebuilding it. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. I've been doing so well and I've been so busy. that I have not had time to give the web guy what he needs. So we're just kind of there. Yeah, that's why I don't have a link. I think I actually have that link on my website. But
yeah, well, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, if you can, like, we'll talk about it right after this. I'll include it in the show notes. When this podcast releases, we'll go ahead and definitely share it with everyone as well, so that everyone can get it. Cause I'm sure that everyone is going to want that. I know I want it. I'm over here. Like, I've heard you talk about this so many times, and I'm like, I gotta have it too. I'm like, all right, this sounds super fun. So
it's super fun, and you should do a 1-day event.
I know you've been telling me that since we met. And I feel like it was something I was definitely like actually seriously looking at back in February. And then when everything happened, I was like, well, I'm going to go stick to what I know because I can't do a live events. Of hearing with what's been happening and just seeing with some of my clients too, because they were running virtual events and whatnot. And I'm like, this is really cool. So as far as the filling piece and getting everything going, I'm excited to look for it soon. It'll be for sure something I do.
Because
soon.
Honestly, like, you know, some of the big people it's taking them 25 or 30 Zoom rooms and 52 laptops to run their 1-day event. Mm-hmm. I literally ran it from my desktop Mac iPro or what am I Mac Pro and and I was able to put a link into the chat, right? Yep. I put an Infusionsoft link to order, to buy the product in the chat. Yeah. That, it was that complicated, right? So
you can
do this.
Oh yeah. It's funny. I feel like you're giving me the look. You're like, you need to do this. You've been needing to do this for a while.
Don't piss me off, Victor.
I know. for sure. We'll do. Okay. I do not want to piss Gina off. So I know, again, thank you so much for coming on and really breaking that down into that event model, because it's so fascinating to me. I feel like people overcomplicate it for sure. And you make it so easy.
You break it down so easy.
And now you're even including the scripts of how to get things going and in between. So like, if you don't see me come up with something like that within the next 2 months, then you can get mad at it.
Hold on. I want to say something. So before 2 months, right? So the people that I follow who teach, they actually are meeting planners, mm-hmm. and they just did an event on how to do virtual events, right? So one of their big clients filled his room in 7 days with 1,100 people, 7 days, Victor.
Yep.
And closed over $3 million, 7 days. Why do you need 2 months? So anyway, that's another story for another day.
That's fair. Yeah. You called me out. All right.
Watch for this to be edited out of the podcast.
I won't because it'll keep me accountable. And I'll definitely come in out. So everyone's going to be watching out for it then in the next month of August here. I say in August because this is scheduled to release around then. So then we have July next. So I guess they're technically 2 months. So
I mean, honestly, here's the thing. It's summer, right? Nobody wants to sit in their house on a computer in the summer.
Yeah.
Right? Even if we're locked down, well, can at least go outside. So no.
From the backyard.
If I were you, I'd go for September.
Sounds good. All right. I will definitely do that.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Now, until next time, I'm Victor with VentoBot. And before I forget, if you're serious about generating never-ending leads and really bringing in, for example, if you're going to run this event and you need to fill the event, well, first off, definitely get the scripts that Gene is providing here. We'll provide those in the show notes and you can get them on the link anywhere above and below this video. Now, if you need to learn how to bring BLS people to the events, though, then head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of The Complete Automation Strategy, The 4 Phases to Generate Never-Ending Leads Online. And until next time, I'm Victor with Ventobot, and I will see you on another episode. Bye.